Transmission commence in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Level 7.
RandomChatter.com presents
the Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
Do you copy?
Perimeter breach.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case files.
Authorizing.
Just call us S.H.I.E.L.D.
Access granted.
Coulson, get back to base.
Welcome back, agents. I trust you've all been out to the movies this weekend. We'll be your hosts on this Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files special. I'm Director Shepard.
And I'm Director Stolte.
Now, who are you?
Come on, man.
Oh. And you've been authorized to undergo debriefing on the most recent mission from Captain America and his operatives presented to the public as a dramatic 2.5-hour-long film known as Captain America Civil War. Fortunately, you've all been cleared to know the truth. The truth is, this is a spoiler-filled episode. If you have not seen Captain America Civil War yet, and you do not want to have potential spoilers about tonight's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode called Emancipation, just turn us off. You can come back to us whenever you want to, but Josh and I, we're going to be talking a lot about Captain America Civil War.
Yes. And the other truth is it was closer to 3 hours with all the previews that I had to sit through, the trailers and everything.
Yeah, it was like, because it's always like 20 minutes of previews now and stuff.
So. Wow. Yeah, there was a lot on opening weekend.
Well, you know, they made it back, I think. I think they're doing pretty good. What I heard now is basically Disney is going up against Disney. They have, you know, most of the big franchises here kind of between Star Wars and the Marvel films. So
yeah. So are you Team Disney or Team Disney?
I think I'm Team Disney, usually, but around Christmas time, I'm probably going to go Team Disney.
That's pretty good. I guess I can wait.
Yeah. So, well, hey, why don't you give us just a quick little overview here about what is Civil War? We can kind of work through the description together and discuss some stuff we liked, some stuff we maybe didn't like, and maybe some other cool things.
Absolutely. Well, Captain America Civil War, which opened officially on May 6, 2016.
Right, although I know here, many just in America, I think that's where it officially opens, right?
Just in America, right? And I know a lot of people that saw it even before that. So its opening dates are kind of flexible these days. But written by Christopher Marcus, Stephen McFeely, directed by Anthony and Joe Russo.
Same lovely folks that brought you Captain America: The Winter Soldier. So
lovely, yes.
I like that.
I guess you could say the third movie in the Captain America trilogy so far, although I still look at it as just a big overall Marvel universe.
I do too. It is the third film in the Captain America series. While Winter Soldier, you know, in kind of trilogies, right, you've got your intro movie, you've got your darker second movie, and you've kind of got your resolute, resolving third movie. This didn't really seem to resolve too much.
No, this to me felt like Age of Ultron 2.
That's exactly right. One thing I've been telling my friends is I felt that this was much more an Avengers film than a Captain America film, other than it opens with Cap doing stuff and it closes with Cap. But everybody got character arcs in this. Nobody was stingy. Nobody seemed to be hogging more screen time than they needed, unless somebody didn't like a character, I guess. But Black Panther, you got a whole bunch of stuff from him, way more than I thought we'd get. Spider-Man had a lot of great stuff, again, more than I thought we'd get. And maybe the only one that kind of got shortchanged would have been Black Widow again. I feel like we got a lot of stuff from a lot of different characters, but she's been around for quite a while now, too. So
she has, and I heard that they are committed to a Black Widow movie.
Solo film, huh?
Solo film, yes. I'm excited about that. And I'm sure people will turn up in that movie, but it's nice to see – it would be very nice to see her get a the spotlight, you know, a film of her own with a storyline of her own.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I understand why, and I do feel that they should have, you know, a female-led Marvel film. There's tons of great female Marvel characters. I know people are really waiting for Captain Marvel. Black Widow would be good because she's been established here, and I know a lot of people like Scarlett Johansson. I'm not sure what else out of her backstory, we really, you know, what else we could get, I guess. And obviously it doesn't have to be about her backstory. But I think there's some interesting things there with the way she's trying to make, you know, make her life now in this new world, with these, with the Sokovia Accords and stuff like that.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I like good stories. I like good stories and good characters, but I will say that even for somebody that doesn't go in looking for these kinds of things, I did notice a lack of female characters on the large group of heroes that we saw battling. We had a couple, but yeah, not many.
Yeah, and I was actually hoping to get more Sharon Carter in this, but she seemed to get a little shortchanged as well, though. You know, there was there she provided a useful service in the film, but Emily Van Camp is a really fun actress to watch, and I just really would like to see more of her.
I was a little surprised, pleasantly surprised, to see Peggy as such an important part of this story, even though she wasn't technically in it. And it was sad to see the character, you know, pass on, but
right.
I didn't expect it. I really honestly wasn't expecting that. And considering, you know, you and I just fairly recently wrapped up the second and possibly final season of Agent Carter, it was nice to see that that's still a major part of this universe. And of course, the captain's life, right?
Yeah. I am a little upset that, they did not have her in it in any fashion, but when you kind of look at where they were going with the Peggy Carter story arc through the Captain America films, I mean, she was already pretty sick in Captain America Winter Soldier and, you know, going a little senile. So there wasn't much else they could do. I wouldn't have minded a, you know, some sort of flashback like we got in Ant-Man. I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah, yeah, Peggy that would
was
be
in
cool.
That. So, all right, well,
And they did something similar with the, not a flashback, but, well, kind of, so with Tony Stark. So they that would have been cool to see. So
I thought they reached new levels in CGI capabilities here, even though I felt that young Tony moved into the uncanny valley just a little bit. He was a little freaky there, just because I don't know what it was, but it wasn't quite human.
Wasn't quite the weird science Robert Downey Jr.
It was close. I mean, I was like, wow, that is weird science era Robert Downey Jr. there, much like the Michael Douglas from Ant-Man was.
He should have dropped like an Orange Julius on his dad's head or something. That would have really fit.
That would have taken care of it, huh? Very nice. All right. So, well, as the film opens up, Cap and his new Avengers are in Lagos, Nigeria. Lagos?
I thought it was Lagos, but
Lagos. Okay,
I could be wrong.
Nigeria, and they're trying to stop Crossbones and his crew from stealing a biological weapon of some kind. And Wanda accidentally blows up part of a building. Not really her fault. It was she was trying to contain Crossbones' explosion. So we have the Sokovia Accords that get drawn up and ratified by some huge number of nations. In the United Nations. So then everybody goes to Vienna to meet at the UN building there, which I was unaware that there was a United Nations building in Vienna. I thought, you know, when I think of United Nations, I think of the New York building, the very famous one in New York.
Sure.
And, but I got home and I looked on Google Maps and yeah, there's this United Nations, building here in Vienna. And, unfortunately, Bucky shows up and blows a bomb up outside of it, which kills Black Panther's dad and makes a bad name for what everybody knows is Captain America's pal there at this point. And it was great. It was a great way to bring Black Panther into it. So Captain America does not really want to get in line with the government and the Sokovia Accords, which is basically registering, you know, himself and the Avengers as a team to work for the government, because after all the things that he's gone through, especially in the Winter Soldier, he doesn't feel like he can put himself in place to take orders from a governmental oversight group, because who knows, you know, at some point the bad guys will get back in charge again. And, you know, who is this government group, that's, you know, going to run it, to say that, you know, this is a bad guy and this is not a bad guy. So he feels that he has more authority, I guess, to make the decisions about who the Avengers need to fight and who they don't. But Tony Stark's got a different opinion about that, right?
Right, right. He was, I think his feelings were swayed very quickly, as he's, I mean, I guess he's having some relationship issues, of course. So yeah, I wasn't aware that was going to be
a little sudden there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so already he's kind of, emotional, you know, and maybe unsure of himself. But then of course, Alfre Woodard's character, is standing outside an elevator and tells Tony how she blames him for her son's death. So he takes this really hard, the same way that he took things hard after the events in Avengers in that you saw in Iron Man 3.
Oh, right. Yeah.
He's basically, he needs to invest a few dollars of his billions into some therapy is what I think he really needs to do.
Okay. Well, as I can't remember how much we talked about Age of Ultron, because I don't think we did a special for that since there wasn't a lot of tie-in to S.H.I.E.L.D., but we
right.
talked about it on our S.H.I.E.L.D. episode. At that point, Tony was very he was very angry, and he was coming from a place of fear, which is why he ended up building Ultron in the first place. And so he still hasn't really recovered from that in this film. His motivations stem from fear, from anger, and anxiety. Basically.
Oh, and guilt too.
And guilt. I mean. Yeah. So,
so he's on board with the Sokovia Accords.
Right. So
Tony
is. Tony gets on board with that, and you know there are a number of people that hop on his side. War Machine, particularly, because they're good buds, and surprisingly, Black Widow. It wasn't really a surprise because, of course, you saw the previews where you could kind of make out who was fighting on whose side. But, you know, for someone that had, has so much at stake to put her on Tony's side, you know, especially after all of this information she's dropped out on the internet and everything like that.
Not only her position as far as, you know, how the public and the government view her, but also her relationship with Steve. I think it was surprising to me that she, I guess not quickly, but, you know, easily went to Tony's side, I guess. That's debatable, I think.
Right. Well, it definitely strained her relationship with Steve, and Clint seemed very surprised by it. Nice little banter that they had during their fight at the airport where they had to stop for a second, make sure everybody, but they were both cool with this, you know, we're kind of fighting. We're not really fighting, but
yeah.
You know, she comes out of it and, she serves the purpose of the Sue Storm character from the Fantastic Four in the Civil War comic. Sue was firmly with Reed Richards and the Fantastic Four on Tony Stark's side until, I can't remember what. Oh, I guess in the movie, I'm sorry, in the comic book, a robotic Thor that Reed Richards has created kills Goliath, which is a giant character, like a, you know, size changing guy, big guy.
Uh-huh.
And at that point, Thor then goes to attack and basically kill all of the Captain America's team. But Sue Storm intervenes and basically protects them and tells them to get out of there. Kind of in the same way, you know, again, on a very, very smaller scale that Sue Storm deals with this, deals with the Black Panther and everything at the airport.
I found that Black Widow was almost kind of a middle ground at points in this story, which I think really served everything pretty well. Although, they probably could have used more middle ground throughout as far as, you know, solving an issue. It worked out for this storyline. So that was where it's going. But, I kept finding myself, you know, agreeing more with her feelings and her points of view than, either Captain America or Iron Man. So
yeah, well, the directors, I mean, they really want you coming out of here not really feeling 100% about either side.
Exactly.
There's a nice article that I read through, I think it was Comic Book Resources, where, you know, you should be able, if you are a big fan of these universes, you should be able to see both sides of the argument. And it is, it's like, I can see where Tony's coming from and I can see where Steve's coming from. And it's, there's a big gulf in between.
And it's hard to criticize this too much because I get where they're coming from. But one of the things that kind of irked me about their whole marketing campaign was how it kind of pitted the two sides against each other. And ultimately, before I even saw the movie and knew exactly how it was going to go down, they're both heroes. Mm-hmm. They're both heroes. And knowing that, you know, you should know that they both have the right point of view in certain ways, you know. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of, and again, you know, I understand why they did it, but I don't like people being so rigid on their views of anything, you know.
Right.
Because it doesn't solve any problems when you're that rigid about your views.
Well, and so, from a marketing standpoint,
I'll get my soapbox there.
No, that's fine. I'm just gonna say from a marketing standpoint, I mean, you got to take this down to a shorthand, and it's like Captain America versus Iron Man. I mean, that's what it has to be.
Yep.
What I found, and I discussed this, I actually took half a day last Friday and went and saw this with three other guys from work. So
lucky.
Yeah, I know. It was great because, I mean, going and seeing it with my family is cool and stuff, but going and seeing it with some of my friends who are really into this from work was neat. One of the things we noted right after the movie was that even though, like, we had seen all these clips from all the commercials and the trailers, and they kept releasing more and more footage. And we're like, oh, you know, I was actually trying to moderate my footage intake because I didn't want to get too much. But even watching all of that, we were thinking, it's like, they didn't even really tell you what was going on with the film, because as you said, from the marketing that you got, it was really the, Captain America versus Iron Man. But there's so much more going on in the film. Like, there's this other bad guy that you really don't get anything about in the trailers, and that's Baron Zemo. Well, sorry, Helmut Zemo, I guess, Chief Inspector Zemo or whatever he is for the Sokovian National Police or whatever.
He was named after that fruity alcoholic beverage from the early 90s.
That's Zima.
Oh, Zima. Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, Baron Zemo actually goes back quite a ways. He was a classic Nazi villain from the early run of Captain America in the 60s when they reinvented him. And but he fought in the during the World War II times with Steve, so it would be in like flashbacks and stuff. And entirely different character, other than kind of in name only, and that he's a villain. But I found it interesting that they set up this guy as the one who kind of orchestrates this stuff to unfold with our heroes. But also, as I discussed with my friends, because you could say, well, it's very much like Batman versus Superman, right? You've got two heroes that are fighting each other, that a third party has kind of set them up to fight against each other. But Zemo really did not set up, he didn't engineer the rift between these two characters. Everything that Cap and Tony have problems with are things that we have seen and have been building since, you know, basically since the Avengers in 2012, but even, you know, since the beginning of the MCU in 2008. And all Zemo did was kind of help make these issues come to light, whereas Lex Luthor really just kind of created something out of nothing. And
manipulation, that kind of thing.
And what?
I just said manipulation, right? I mean,
oh yeah. Yeah.
And
that's why I think the DC film was a lot less satisfying too, is just because we're just kind of being introduced. I mean, we're not really just being introduced to these characters, obviously, but you know, there really wasn't any beef between Batman and Superman. Whereas here, you know, even as far back as Captain America 2, we knew that Captain America found out that Hydra actually killed Tony's parents. And that's what he says at the end of the film. He's like, I knew this is what happened, but I didn't know how it happened, meaning he didn't know that Bucky was involved. So I don't know. I thought it was really cool that there was just so much more to the film than anticipated.
I love how all of these movies are strung together so well, and that they clearly have a vision, not the superhero, but the, you know, verb, that of what they're planning, not, I don't want to say an endpoint, but just in the distant future, you know, so they're all kind of connected in some way. So,
yeah. Well, after seeing, you know, the fight scenes in this, which I did not understand what was going on in the fight scene, even though you've got 12 characters fighting at an airport. It was filmed and staged in such a way that it was really understandable as to who was fighting whom. And, you know, at its worst, it probably was, everything was discreet. You know, they had these two or three characters fighting each other, and then you went and saw these two or three characters fighting each other, and, you know, maybe there'd be a little more crossover in a real fight, but I thought it was staged really well. I'm just thinking, what are they going to do for Infinity War? Like, this was insane. And Infinity War is supposed to be, you know, Avengers 3.1 versus Thanos. I mean, holy moly. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like they're, you know, building up the Lord of the Rings movies. You know, by the time you had got to Return of the King, the battle was just bigger than epic. I mean, you don't want to can't even use that word to compare it. So I think they've got that probably planned out too. I thought the fight was brilliant. I really had a lot of fun with that. It did not go on too long, I didn't think. It served an important purpose. There were some things there that were probably almost forced. I won't say forced because I didn't think they felt forced, but Spider-Man especially. But it was so much fun that it didn't bother me one little tiny bit.
Oh, okay. So what are your favorite things going on? Like, what kind of what are the characters really resonated with you?
I don't know. I don't know if you're going to agree with this or not, but, I was a gigantic fan of Scott Lang. I thought the way they used Ant-Man in there was incredibly fun. And I really like the fun stuff that they put in here every once in a while. There was every few minutes they threw in a tiny little joke. And, I mean, I was a big fan of Ant-Man anyway, so I know that it's kind of a minor thing, but he fit really well, you know, because Falcon already knew him from Ant-Man. And, so that worked really well. Whereas, you know, right. Spider-Man, they kind of had to fit in there. I love the little, surprise, I guess, from him, when he grew to Giant Man. So that was fun.
I was hoping they were putting that in there. I had heard some rumors that, you know, there was like a Lego set, I think, that had Giant Man in it. And, you know,
oh, really?
Which is fine because, you know, I mean, Lego oftentimes, you know, if you look at like, say, some of the Star Wars Lego sets, they make stuff that really is kind of from the movie, but not really, you know? So I was like, okay, well, they may just be taking some creative license, but I was very pleased to see him go big. That was
That was fun.
That was a treat.
On a little more mainstream characters, you know, from the movie, I really did like the way that they got Black Panther in there. I thought he was a great addition. And what a performance. Nice.
Oh, yeah, Chadwick Boseman is amazing. If you guys haven't seen any of his work previously, I highly recommend checking out 42, which is the story of Jackie Robinson and his integration of baseball. And also he was in a biopic called Get On Up, which is about The Godfather of Soul.
Oh my gosh, why can't I think
of that? Totally blanking on his name.
Well, oh my gosh, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed that I don't no, right off the top of my head.
Dancing in America, Living in America, whatever. Anyway.
Yes.
You guys all know who we're talking about.
You all, yes.
Everyone's screaming at us right now. I wish I could.
Well, they're screaming. Well, I'll just let you know here. It was James Brown, of course.
James Brown. Mr. James Brown. Okay. This is how my brain's been lately.
We were on Captain America. My brain was on Captain America. I had to shift gears. It just takes me a little while to shift gears.
Right. You got a double clutch. I thought, so my question that I had to one of my coworkers before we saw the film was, I kind of can understand where everybody else that we've seen in the trailers fits into this, right? I could see, okay, you've got Tony versus Cap, and War Machine's on Tony's side. I could figure out kind of why Black Widow was there. The Vision, why was he on Tony's side? Well, you know, because he was created by Tony. But why, and Spider-Man, you know, is kind of like beholden to Tony for, you know, I was assuming giving him a suit or something like that. And
I think, and because he came to him and approached him and trusted him, but
right.
And I think Vision was looking at it from a very mathematical or logical perspective. You know, he even kind of stated how you know, things had changed and maybe there should be, but I still even think he was a bit hesitant.
He was very pragmatic about it, and the fact that, you know, I mean, his summation I think was accurate. The fact that the more superheroes show up, the more villains show up, and hence the more damage occurs because there's a escalation of powers, basically, which is true. Otherwise, it'd be kind of boring to watch these films. But Black Panther, but Black Panther was one of these characters. It's like, well, what brings him in here? Because we don't know anything about him, and hopefully they were not going to assume that he'd been around, and we just didn't know who he was. But you know, they didn't. They introduced him and. It really, he was only on Tony's side because they were going against Cap, and Bucky was on Cap's side, and Black Panther really just kind of had vengeance on his mind for the majority of the film. And I thought it was, like you said, it was a great character arc. The fact that we come to the end, and I'm waiting for Zemo to kill himself, and thinking, oh man, he's going to get the easy way out because he's going to kill himself. But then. Black Panther kind of switches gears and realizes that he's been, you know, his vengeance has been for the wrong man. And, you know, he's so noble and he's such a hero that he needs to make sure Zemo sees justice because he realizes Zemo was also the one that killed his dad and that, you know, him shooting himself would be, again, also the easy way out. So he stops that and, you know, chokes him out and stuff. It's just wonderful. And the little setup is the mid credits scene really excites me for what could come in his film, which is still like 2 years away, I think.
Yeah, I he really impressed me as far as not even new faces, just out of all of the heroes, he got me the most excited to see more from him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even more than Spider-Man, should I say. I don't know. Am I going to make people mad by saying that? But yeah. It's true. I'm excited to see more Black Panther.
We've seen a lot of Spider-Man. I mean, let's just say that, you know, in the last 15 plus years, we've seen 5 Spider-Man movies. So seeing Black Panther, I mean, that's just something new. It's just a character we don't know anything about.
Yeah.
And yep, a lot of people just don't know about him from the comics and stuff like this. I mean, he goes back a long ways. He's created by Jack Kirby, showed up in early Fantastic Four issues and stuff, and kind of has been a mainstay of either Friends of the Fantastic Four or parts of the Avengers team. He took over as Daredevil for a while when Daredevil went a little nuts and disappeared in the, I don't know, probably like, 8 years ago now or something like that. So, I too loved Paul Rudd as Ant-Man there. I thought I actually liked Clint a lot. Just, you know, him kind of showing up to save the day or to, you know, to help out. He's like, I've just screwed up my kids' lives and all this kind of stuff. And he goes to grab Wanda and then he kind of jogs away. Like, he's like, all right, let's go. And then he realized she's not following, so he kind of jogs back, and he's like, okay, we got to go. And just, you know, some of his lines that he had.
Humor like that is what really worked in this.
Yeah.
Wasn't wasn't cheesy or it fit into real world, you know, and I liked that character. He's another one that I wouldn't mind seeing more of just because he's got so much to offer mm-hmm. without having a lot of, without having the powers, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
So Black Widow, is that it? Are those the only two that really don't have any abilities?
Sam doesn't have any abilities, but he's got the suit.
Sure. Same with Ant-Man, right?
Yeah.
But even that is more than what they have. I mean, he's just a really skilled archer and Black Widow's a really skilled fighter, so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, when, Clint fires his arrows at Iron Man. And, you know, he's like, you missed. And he's like, made you look. And then I think it was Wanda brings, you know, like the cars from the parking garage down on top of Tony. It's like, oh, man, should have seen that coming.
Always.
Spider-Man, though, I've seen a lot of people talk about how much they enjoyed Spider-Man. I did as well. I thought the youthfulness of this character, and he's not in his 20s. Like, he is definitely a teenage Spider-Man, and I didn't realize how much that really matters until Tom Holland showed up. And you know, when Tony mentioned he's got a guy that he knows about, I'm like, oh, here we go. And again, so much more Spider-Man than I thought we were going to get. I kind of thought we might see one quick little scene to set it up, and then, you know, he was going to be at the airport fight or something like that. But they really went all out.
It fit pretty well considering how fast they had to kind of get it in there. I mean, they fit a lot of plot line in that just tiny little part. Good use of Aunt May. I would say of one of my choices for most attractive Aunt May we've seen in the movies.
Oh, Aunt May. Right. I thought you were saying Ant-Man. No,
Aunt May. Aunt May. I like Aunt May. I like Ant-Man. Anything with an ant in this movie I thought was good.
Remember when Aunt May and Ivan Vanko were like getting it on in the trailer park in that wrestler movie? That was fun. So, but this was pretty much everything that I hoped for and more. I was extremely pleased. I've seen people bring up, you know, problems, and sure, you know, there's probably some plot things and I would say probably the weakest part, even though I really liked it, like I talked about earlier with Zemo, that's kind of probably the weakest part is the fact that it's just this guy really that was putting together a, you know, a plan to kind of mess with, you know, Bucky and to use Bucky against Captain America and Iron Man and stuff like this. But I still thought it was, you know, I thought it was all really well executed. And again, it kind of, it's like the cherry on top for sitting through all these, you know, the other 12 films that we watched.
Yeah. It was so much fun and so enjoyable. I mean, I almost hate nitpicking some of these things, but it's just fun to talk about, you know, but, I can't use those things to criticize my enjoyment of the movie because really it comes down to being a fun story that, is exciting and has a good storyline with characters that are well developed, and man, what more can you ask of from a movie? I mean, this is this was well crafted. That's how I would sum it up right there. It was really well crafted.
When I think of fun films, you know, like just to go see in a theater, you know, like for example, like Raiders of the Lost Ark is way up there, just because you kind of sit down and it just goes. And you forget about everything. It's like you can't really think about anything in the moment because you're just continually moving. And that's what this movie did. It's like I think we finished up the airport fight and I kind of looked at my watch and I'm like, holy crap, there's only like 40 minutes left in the film. It doesn't feel like I've been here for almost 2 hours or whatever, you know? So
Yeah. The one thing that did stand out to me as I was watching was that, you know, throughout this whole thing, the whole reason they kind of came up with these Sokovia Accords and the whole problem and argument, you know, was the destruction and of course the deaths on top of that too. But they still destroyed that airport and didn't go back and fix it up.
I was thinking about that.
Maybe just at the end, have some, you know, just have Tony maybe lift up a tower or, you know, somebody over there know, glue a wing back on or something. Something. But they still, yeah. I have this fear that they just left the German airport in shambles, making travel on the entire planet come to a standstill for like 2 weeks. But
yeah. Yeah, that was that was something that actually gets addressed in the Civil War comic series, that they have to go back and fight in like Manhattan, and Tony's like, you know, absolutely no property, you know, not property, civilian casualties. They knew they were going to have property damage, but they were like, you know, make sure you don't accidentally kill any civilians. So, well, it looks like the Sokovia Accords are actually going to become part of the world of the ATCU and SHIELD this week. There was a clip that's online of Coulson and Talbot having a discussion about the fact that Talbot coming to Coulson basically and saying, hey, these Sokovia Accords are now the law of the land, and I think you guys have some unregistered inhumans. How much do you think that's really going to play into the episode this week or the rest of the season? Or do you think it's just going to be like kind of a one hit this week to kind of promote the film, and then we really won't deal with it?
No, I actually think it's going to be a major point in the plot line for this season and beyond. And I would argue that it probably already has been all season long. I mean, they didn't necessarily call it that, but that has been a major issue with Coulson and with certain characters deciding whether to become inhuman or not deciding whether to become inhuman, but you know, how they felt about the Inhumans. And so I think that they will probably bring it up by name even multiple times. And I think it will go on into next season as well.
Okay. Well, it looked like it's going to be kind of interesting because Coulson obviously is a huge fan of Captain America in the MCU. And he does not feel that it's necessary for him to register. And of course, Talbot does. What is also an interesting subtext, and I'm sure we'll talk about this a little bit more on this week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, is Coulson, again, being a Captain America fan, and the guy that plays Talbot was the voice of Iron Man on the Avengers cartoon.
So look at that.
So one's in favor of the Accords and one's not.
So why aren't they marketing it? Are you Team Coulson or Team Talbot? Come on, that's... it's a very effective way to do it, right?
They need to totally do that. So we've been hashtagging everything Civil War now. It's two friends get in an argument on Facebook. And it's like hashtag Civil War.
Well, I don't agree. I don't think you should be doing that. I think that's wrong. That's wrong. You shouldn't be labeling people like that. No, I'm not going along with that.
Hashtag no labels. All right. So, would you recommend this to your friends?
I would absolutely recommend this to my friends. And here is the deal. I obviously like these types of movies. You know, this is a genre that I am into. No big surprise there. And so, of course, a lot of my friends are also into this type of movie. So they're going to see it anyway, including, you know, my students. You know, I teach a class of fifth graders. So obviously they're going to see it, and already most of them have. But here's the deal. I recommended this weekend on Mother's Day. I recommended it to my mother and my father. So
that's what I was going to ask. Yeah,
I'm fairly certain that my mom will like this movie. She likes movies in general, and you know, she's not a comic book movie person per se, but she does enjoy a lot of movies. As a matter of fact, when I took her to see Star Wars, as we're walking out, I said, "What'd you think, Mom?" She goes, "I got to go see it again. There's just so much." So, I mean,
that's awesome.
She likes those kind of movies, and I think she'll like this. Plus, she thinks Captain America is pretty dreamy anyway. So,
well, oh my gosh, those muscles are not CGI. I heard about how they filmed the scene where he's holding the helicopter back.
No,
Did you hear about this?
No, I just saw the muscles. I'm pining for him.
So, he was holding on to a building piece. They actually had Chris Evans doing this. They holding onto a building piece. They put a crane on his other hand. And basically, we're using a crane to pull him, and he was fighting to hold it from pulling him. And so, basically, that is all Chris Evans. I heard that he pulled a muscle, but you know, they really made him flex like that.
Oof! Well, it worked.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was nice. That was pretty cool. Whereas, see, I could have played Spider-Man.
Well, and
I think.
Another cool shout out I just want to put in real quick is I was so excited to see Red Wing, which is the Falcon's sidekick. In the comic books, it's an actual Falcon that he has some sort of technological camaraderie with. Some I can't remember how he does it, whether it's like a radio frequency or something like that. But the fact that they made it like a little robot bird that can fly around and do stuff, I thought that was so cool.
That was fun. I didn't expect that either.
Yeah, just real fun. And yeah, I'm interested to kind of see where they go from this, because as far as I can tell, I believe they're kind of taking a break from Avengers films. So the next film that we get in the Marvel Cinematic Universe is going to be later this year. It's going to be Doctor Strange. And then next year, let's see, what do we get? We get Guardians of the Galaxy, we get Spider-Man, and we get Thor, Ragnarok. And then Black Panther in early 2018, and we don't see Avengers again until May of 2018 with Infinity War Part 1. So, you know, I'm sure there'll be references in maybe Doctor Strange, and I've heard that Iron Man will be showing up in Spider-Man, but Thor is going to be off in his own realm fighting. There's usually not a lot of crossover with the Thor films. Black Panther might have, Captain America and or Winter Soldier in it, and potentially some of the other characters there, but we're kind of on a break right now. Which, how do you feel about that?
Well, it's like a season finale, man. I want to know what happens next. But I also know that the movies that they're going to be releasing before we get any more Avengers are going to have stories that tie this together. There'll be even just little references or something that that'll kind of keep us satisfied, I think, until we find out the ultimate end point.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and like you said, there may be stuff that is continuing on with, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. here that kind of keeps some stuff alive. So I guess we'll figure out about that. So, well, that was awesome. I too would recommend this. I think it's a good film, and I don't know that you need to have the backstory of the other Marvel Cinematic Universe films, the Captain America films, or even the two Avengers films. It doesn't hurt, but I think you could still enjoy this as a fun film about, you know, friends having to fight friends and, people making choices about things and vengeance and revenge and, you know, trying to find your place in the world and stuff like that. So,
oh yeah, it's got a good message to it, and it's fun to watch them resolve that.
So, thanks everybody for joining us on our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files special here for Captain America: Civil War. I'm glad you guys could stop by.
Absolutely. Hey, and you know what? If you enjoyed us talking about this, or if you enjoy listening to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, we'd love to have some feedback for you from you on iTunes. So get over there and maybe give us a little review and write some good comments so people can find us. Also, you can just email us, tell us your thoughts about Captain America or anything you're seeing in the last few episodes here of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That email is shield@randomchatter.com. You can also tweet at us over there on Twitter at Agents Podcast, and our Facebook page, where we're just about at 1,000 likes. I'm excited about that. Facebook.com/agentspodcast.
I don't want the likes. I don't think
you don't want the likes.
Them. Nope.
No likes. Okay.
Don't want them. You can also check out the other podcasts Josh and I host, including Green Justice and Arrow podcast and Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast, all via randomchatter.com, which has some other great shows that go on there besides the stuff that we do. So check those out. All of our shows are available in the iTunes Store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. So be sure to tell your friends about us. If you guys enjoyed Captain America: Civil War, let your friends know. We've got a great podcast discussing that. So for our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files special, this is Jay.
And this is Josh.
Signing off from Level 7. This podcast is not endorsed by ABC Television or Marvel Entertainment. The official website for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can be found at www.agentsofshield.com. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and related elements are copyright Marvel Entertainment, LLC.
Transmission terminated.